afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Monday, January 29th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, I say this, I know the listeners hear it time and time again. I just can't believe it's January. What happened to January? But in fact, what happened to 2017? It's hard to say, you know, it's time is just scooting right by, and it's...
It can only mean you're having a lot of fun.
Is that what it means?
That's what
it also means we're getting a day older, too. A month older, year older, or younger, however you want to look at it. But
some things are better left unsaid.
I guess. We've had some pressure on gold today. It tried to claw its way back. Down $7.60, $7.60 on gold today at $1,342.70. Silver was down 23 cents today at $17.25. Platinum was down $1 at $10.10. And palladium was down $2 at $1,091. The USDX today, let me bring this up here, of course, was stronger with those types of numbers, 0.29. positive at 89.35, still below 90. Crude oil was down 73 cents at 65.41. And the paper markets today, they had some pressure. 180 points. I mean, that's just... It doesn't even mean anything anymore. 180 points, triple digits. 26,436. The NASDAQ was down 40 points at 7,466. And the S&P was down 19 points at 2,853. This is what I find interesting. 10-year yield, 2.70%, up 0.04. The euro is holding 124. European markets basically done, you know, they're flat overnight. And just for Bitcoin, it's down almost 5%, 11.1. And I read earlier today that there was a Japan company who lost $500,000 in cryptos. They were hacked, I believe. I don't have that article in front of me. I'm just talking from my memory. And I just saw the headline, so I didn't really read it because I'm really not that interested in Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies and so forth. But anytime I see a headline that something has been hacked and something has been stolen, you know, it's the world that we live in if you continue to do your business online. And just this weekend, I was at a venue, and the person I was talking to started freaking out and telling me that they just got hacked, and the people had her identity. They tried to go into a bank. They went into the bank to open up accounts with her. They had a driver's license. It wasn't her correct driver's license, but they had a driver's license with her picture and her information on there. They had other ID on hers, and they had her bank accounts. They had all kinds of information on her that they were trying to do. There were several credit card accounts they were trying to open. And, of course, they all do these things on the weekend when everything is closed. It's hard to get anything done. And if you don't have any type of anyone monitoring your accounts, you're just kind of heck out of luck until, you know, Monday and you can get to these things. So, you know, we talked about LifeLock on this program before, and I decided to hook up to LifeLock, and they started asking, and this was all online, and they started asking you for all your bank accounts and all this kind of stuff. It's like, I'm not going to give that stuff online. I'm just not going to do it. You know, why would you do it?
You got to protect yourself, people.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. Is there anybody that's really going to watch your finances? Who really cares what you lose and what you gain? The only reason they care about what you gain is because they make percentages off you or earn, off what you earn. They do care because they take percentages on managing your money. But they really don't care if your accounts perform or not. I mean, I shouldn't say they don't care. Some do. But the majority of folks, and I get these relationships are built up and so forth, but my whole point is not to stress that they don't care. The whole point is it's up to you to take care of yourself. And whether it be LifeLock, whether it be, LifeLock, whether it be your investments, protecting your paper investments with gold, it's really up to you. And,
It's funny, speaking of Bitcoin, I'm not an investor in it, but I do follow it just because it's fascinating, if nothing else. For any music fans out there, I don't know if you saw that the rapper 50 Cent invested a chunk of his money in Bitcoin and forgot about it. And I don't know how he came to be reminded, but let's just say $7 million later, it was a nice reminder at that point. Now we're just trying to get word to 50 Cent to transfer those earnings over into something with more lasting value, something like gold and silver, Melody.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's when you have a windfall and you're doing well, save it, protect it, and get it into gold and silver. You know, we've been sharing a lot of opinions of economists and some market observers since we've been doing the program together, and about the stocks and bond markets. They're all approaching a crisis bubble level. And also in our American Survival newsletter, I have Doug Nolan in there because he talks about, once again, I mean, there's just no rationale behind what's going on in world markets and these bubbles. It's like we're at a point where it doesn't matter anymore. It's not that it doesn't matter. It's like nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares is a better way to put it. And this morning it doesn't seem to be any different. All we do is read about the S&P 500 trading in ways it hasn't for decades. You have the S&P has closed at records 14 times during the past 18 trading days. This is the most in any month since June of 1955. Jeez. Doesn't anybody have problems with that? Jeez. You know, I mean, those are, hello out there. But that's not the only interesting stat to pay attention to. The S&P 500 had risen 7% this year and was on track for one of the strongest January performances ever since 1989. And we've had the, and the records continue as far as record highs. And there's an old saying that goes, so goes January, goes the year. And that's why they call it the January barometer. I'm not in agreement with that all the time, but most of the time you can have a good start, and the year does lead to with continued gains. I think 2018 is certainly going to be different.
I agree, Melody. Statistics show that when January is higher, the final 11 months rise by an average of 12%. And when the S&P 500 gains are 5% or more, as it's tracking so far this year with 2 days to go, the final 11 months jumped an average of 16%. Brokerage firms have a median 12-month target of 3,000 for the S&P, still a 4% gain from Friday's close. But a number of analysts, including us, believe there could be at least a few curveballs coming at Wall Street from Washington this year and elsewhere. The first one of these curveballs is a new Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, who will take over at the helm at the end of this week on Saturday, February 3rd. And that could lead to some market tremors. It usually does. The Dow has been negative on average in the 6 months after a new Fed chair's term. So in that move alone, we should expect additional volatility in the coming weeks. And Melody, the November midterm elections could also increase market volatility if they haven't already taken a nosedive by then. Midterm election years generally see a 17% correction on average, and that's the largest intra-year pullbacks of a four-year presidential cycle.
And you know what, David, added to those two big political factors, there are other several economic trends that are pointed to some upward pressure on gold and silver prices in 2018. We have the steadily falling dollar. We have rising interest rates at 2.70. If that 10-year yield continues to rise and stay above, you know, if we start approaching 3%, it's going to get real interesting. The national debt continues to increase. We have a surging foreign demand for gold and silver. It's China, India, Russia, Turkey. And Dave writes about these and some other factors that we believe will increase the price of precious metals this year. And you can find that information in Dave's article in the American Survival Newsletter. And again, folks, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you go to the little mailbox and sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Thanks, Melody. You know, along those same lines, I read this morning that I'm not a big fan, I'm not a small fan of this company, but Goldman Sachs, which has at least, you know, a big analytical arm, believes correction signals are flashing and is so advising its clients to prepare for a correction in the coming months. That as investors pour cash into the stock market. What can you tell us about that, Melody?
Well, the chief global equity strategist said today, whatever the trigger, correction of some kind, seems a high probability in the coming months. Peter Oppenheimer, he said that the Goldman Sachs bull bear market indicator is at elevated levels. And again, too, I agree with you. I'm not a fan of them. But you know what? They do have a long arm for research, and you know they have a tendency. I think they've learned a lot after the Great Recession of 2008. And along the continuation of low core inflation and easy monetary policy, it does suggest that a correction is more likely than a bear market. And so the S&P 500 has now entered the longest period since 1929.
Jeez.
Without a correction of more than 5%. How long do people think that this can continue?
Forever,
and my little what are they called? The flying horse, the unicorns, or whatever they're flying over the rainbow. Over the rainbow.
Oh, I see one now.
Oh my goodness gracious. Oppenheimer reports that drawdowns within bull markets of 10% or more are not uncommon. Said that the average bull market correction is 13%. Folks, we've been telling you this for how long? This is not normal. We do not live in a normal world, and these numbers are not normal. You can ride it for however long you want, but oh my goodness, I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd be taking my money and running. That's what I would be doing.
Hold on tight. You're right. You know, and to add to all that, while the S&P and Dow Jones Industrial Average have jumped up again this month, the CBOE Volatility Index, widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, you refer to the fear index a lot on the show, Melody, that's also on the rise. The so-called VIX was last seen above 12.4, up from record lows below 9 just a few months ago. The previous 12 months were characterized by a chronic lack of volatility as stocks ticked higher, seemingly unmoved by the Fed's well-broadcasted tightening of monetary policy.
And, you know, we talk and we see about consumer confidence, that soaring. You know, everyone is so happy about the tax cuts. You have a president, Mr. Trump. He's looking to disrupt any long-standing trade agreements that doesn't benefit the United States. And I agree, a lot of these trade, you know, they were hurtful, absolutely. And, you know, if we're going to have trade agreements, let's benefit us. for once. And so you're going to see a lot of changes, and a lot of these countries just aren't going to sit by and say, okay, you know, deals are going to be made, but sometimes deals can also bring a lot of volatility. And Oppenheimer believes that investors should pay close attention to periods when optimism has overpriced assets, which leaves them vulnerable to any type of disappointment. Mm. And a good sign of this is when all news is good news, and that's exactly correct. And an example of that is if the market goes up with rising interest rate expectations, because this is seen as the confirmation of strong growth. Inflows into the equities are also up as a fear of missing out. People are afraid, I'm going to miss out. But usually when you get that emotion, the fear of missing out, it's already over.
Like Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's already over. So you are going to miss out, and that's okay. You wait. You get into something that hasn't taken off yet, like gold and silver. And of course, the fear of missing out drives investors headfirst into stocks, usually at the last phase. Mutual funds, ETFs that focus on stocks, they saw $58 billion flood into these markets. That's the highest pace ever over a four-week period. Everything has a cycle. Everything has a phase. And all of these cycles and phases are based on basically human nature.
Mm.
Because it doesn't change. I mean, you can take to the bank. You're going to have the different phases. You're going to have the different cycles. And all of these will play out. So it's our job to determine which phase, which cycle are we in. And, you know, we are definitely, it's the human behavior. It's the behavior of seeing these numbers, increases that we haven't seen since 1929, since 1955, since 1959, since 1989. That's where we are, and there's reasons why. And so we are on the verge of a major leak, and I think we're on the verge of something much deeper and dangerous than just a leak. I think it will affect our complete financial system, our monetary system, and not just ours, but we're so interconnected around the world. It will be global. And then
Melody,
we have... Yes?
I'm sorry if you heard that.
What is that?
That's the sound the bubble bursting. Sorry, it wasn't, explosive as I expected it to be.
No, it wasn't. But anyway, folks, what is explosive is this first segment of the program has gone by so quick. We'll be joining you in just a few minutes.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Heading into the break, we were talking about the 10-year yield in bonds, and before we head into the Saudis and their IPO, let's talk a little bit, Dave, about the about bonds, treasuries, 10-year yield. Why is that so dangerous? I mean, it affects so much.
No, it sure does. And you know, let's first a couple of facts. The yield on the 30-year Treasury bond closed. We'll just talk about Friday. Closed higher at 2.949%. The 2-year Treasury note hit a high of 2.161, which is its highest level since September of 2008, when it yielded 2.189%. And of course, the 10-year note that Melody mentioned is at its highest level in 4 years, hovering around 2.7. And we'll talk a little bit more about the 10-year in a minute. It in particular is important because of its tie to mortgage rates, consumer loans, and credit card percentages. As Kevin Gittes, who heads fixed income capital markets at Raymond James, said this morning, that the rapid rise of the 10-year Treasury is almost as if the anticipation of inflation has been replaced with the certainty of it. I found that to be interesting.
Yes.
And U.S. Treasuries aren't the only bonds making headlines today. And this is a global phenomenon that's all with effects on the U.S. and gold and silver prices. But the Dutch Central Bank, the German 5-year Bund, broke above zero for the first time since December of 2015, after the Dutch Central Bank President Klaus Knot said the European Central Bank has to end its quantitative easing as soon as possible, quote unquote. He said there's no reason whatsoever to continue the program. I mean, the German 5-year bond yield was at last at 0.01%, while its own 10-year climbed to 0.697%. Melody, the central bank over in Europe does plan to purchase bonds through the end of September, but we don't know what's going to happen after that, although their president, Mario Draghi, does not want to commit to prevent the value of the euro from rallying any further. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's going to be a tug of war between the U.S. then and Europe. And, we've had a currency war for a long time. And I think when Mnuchin in Davos last week, they were making a statement on how that easily they can change the currency markets. He didn't say that, I don't believe, as a test. I believe it was a message to the various leaders, to the various countries, to the various markets around the world. So you just don't make those comments. You can't be that naive.
Yeah.
I don't buy that argument. It was done for a purpose. It was done for a reason. And I believe it was done for a message. So that is how easy. So when you have the ECB Draghi saying that, they're going to keep the euro from rallying further, we'll have to see how this all plays off, how this all plays out. But the global bond sell-off seems to be linked to the realization that the combination of the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank is slowly shifting from quantitative easing to neutral. And but you still have a lot of these other countries that are still going to stimulate, stimulate, stimulate.
Yeah, they're all, I mean, with the Fed reducing its balance sheet to the tune of $600 billion later this year, and, you know, at the same time that the federal government is likely to borrow over $1 trillion more. As we've been telling listeners recently, Melody, observers like former Reagan budget director David Stockman believe the timing of that reduction in the U.S. Is going to cause the U.S. bond market to crash, leading to a stock market correction at best, leading to a flight to safety in gold and silver.
And folks have to remember that as the yield increases, the value of the bonds decrease.
Sometimes
that's hard for folks to, you know, to visualize or to understand and so forth. So it really is important to get your metals now. And I'll tell you what, the lower end of the $20 gold pieces, the Mint State 62, $20 Liberty pieces, you can buy them for, I've never seen them this price, this close to spot. I mean, you can buy Mint State 62, $20. Hold on, folks. Let me just do this. For the same price as a Gold Eagle coin today. Again.
You're kidding.
You can buy Mint State 62, $20. Liberties or Saints, either or. For the same price as a Gold Eagle. I mean, that's incredible.
Folks, I hope you heard that that subtle tapping in the background. That is Melody Cederstrom, President and CEO of Discount Gold and Silver Trading, multitasking. Working for you, clients of DGST, investors in gold and silver.
But, I mean, that is an incredible buy. I mean, and just as we see these stock markets, we're not there yet with gold and silver, but I mean, we're at these lows that we haven't seen in 15 years or longer, or I've never seen them this low. It's an incredible buy. It's an incredible buy. People say, well, why is that premium so low? Well, I'll tell you why it's so low. Because you got almost a 27,000 Dow Jones. You've got paper markets that are reaching the sky. And who's interested in gold? Central banks are. China, Russia, India. They're interested in gold. But not the people here in the United States. They're interested in paper. They're interested in promises to pay. So
We are a nation of borrowers. That's for sure. You know, on a practical matter, Melody, this huge sell-off in the bond market is about to make buying a home more expensive, too. Here's the practical consideration, aside from gold and silver, but certainly, as we mentioned, directly tied to it. Mortgage rates, listeners, which loosely follow the yield in the 10-year Treasury, have been rising for the past few weeks, but are seeing their biggest move higher today. Some lenders are going to be at 4.5% on their best case scenario 30-year fixed quotes. That's the highest rate in 4 years. What's important here? I mean, the average rate on the popular 30-year fixed rate started the year right around 4%, but then began to climb on positive news in the U.S. economy, some solid company earnings report, and a shift in foreign central bank policies, which appear to now be following the Fed's light tightening of monetary policy. The rate was just 4.28 by the end of last week. So that's clearly, as goes the 10-year, so goes mortgage rates. Melody?
Yeah, we've seen mortgage rates. I mean, they're still historically low, but they've even were lower in the years following the 2008 crisis. And that not only helped lead to sharp increase in home prices, but it also gave borrowers a new sense of normal. But both hurt affordability this spring on several. Both will hurt affordability this spring on several fronts, and we have today is one more reason for realtors and buyers to move up their spring schedule. This is a guy he's a mortgage loan consultant out of Chicago-based Lakeside Bank. His last name is Kopech. And it's true, the housing market is already facing a supply crisis, with demand substantially higher than the supply of homes for sale. You have higher mortgage rates will make that problem worse, because most current homeowners have likely refinanced to rates in the 3% range over the past few years, and they're going to be reluctant to give up those rates either to downsize or upsize to a new home. And for first-time buyers, even a quarter-point difference in mortgage rates could price them out of the type of home they want to buy. And today's buyers are saving less. We have a huge levels of student debt. We have high rent rates. Confidence in the current economy is driving spending even higher and savings even lower.
Yeah, I mean, wages may be growing, Melody, but the rate is nowhere near the now nearly 7% annual home price growth. Price gains are highest on the lower end of the housing market, where demand happens to be the highest and supply, of course, is the lowest. That's where also buyers are most sensitive to mortgage rates, because they're already squeezing to make monthly payments. So stay tuned. I mean, we're going to continue to follow the increase or the rates of particularly the 10-year treasuries in the weeks and months ahead.
And let's move on to Aramco. I think this is going to be a big deal. It's going to get a lot of attention. And, you know, it could raise about $100 billion. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about the Saudis Aramco?
Well, Saudi Aramco, it's currently a private company. It's owned by the Saudi government, as we know. They're aiming for an initial public offering that could raise, as Melody said, upwards of $100 billion and attract a valuation in the range of $1 to $2 trillion this year. But the process is taking a long time to come to fruition. Aramco, the Saudi government, there's indecision over where to list shares of the world's largest energy company. And, you know, it's playing a major role in holding up what is expected to be the biggest ever IPO. This is the centerpiece of Saudi Arabia's plan to diversify its oil-dependent economy, Melody. It also stands to create a huge windfall for the army of bankers and lawyers involved in the offering. But way beyond that, do they make this available in the U.K.? And Hong Kong in those markets, or do they go to the New York Stock Exchange? It's a big issue, because Saudi officials and some of their outside advisors have warned the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, that if they list on the New York Stock Exchange, well, and the powerful members of the royal family want to do that, they think that would open Aramco to legal threats from shareholders and 9/11 victims. If you recall, the family members of those killed in the World Trade Center attack have long sought to press a legal case against Saudi officials who they believe shielded, if not funded, some of the attackers. So we'll see what happens there. It's got certainly some other implications, particularly as we, you know, read about other countries like China wanting to force their oil trading partners to trade not in the U.S. dollar anymore, but in their own fiat currency, the yuan. Melody?
I don't know. It is such a bizarre world out there. It really is, you know, it's amazing. I learned a long time you can never underestimate their powers and their abilities.
To manipulate.
Yes.
To manipulate us.
Yes, you're right. You know, this kind of, I get a chuckle out of this Deutsche Bank. You know, there's been so many articles about Deutsche Bank. Well, they were, you know, we have about 3 minutes before we head into break, you know, but they're talking about Deutsche Bank. You know, they were going to be going out of business. They were fined. I mean, they've done some pretty nasty stuff. They pay their fines. They're ready to go broke. They manipulated. It's been proven they manipulated the gold and silver markets, particularly the gold markets. And yet it's just, they just go on. And it's the bunny rabbit. The Energizer. They just go on and on and on. And now they're defending its decision to raise its annual bonus payments. You have Germany's biggest bank is to increase its 2017 pot of bonus cash to more than €1 billion, which equals about $1.2 billion, despite registering a third consecutive year of losses.
Hey, it's good to be there.
Oh, it's good to be a bank. So earlier this month, Deutsche warned that the weak trading and a €1.5 billion hit resulting from tax changes in the U.S. would cause the bank to post small loss after taxes in 2017. Deutsche said that earlier today that while the headlines don't look good, the bank is in a healthy position and the bonuses are justified. Why would you pay bonuses when your company is having losses? What kind of... Now, I mean, not just... You pay people, give them bonuses for doing a lousy job. All right. So they were on track for a net profit in 2017. They decided they shouldn't punish their staff. I thought they said that they were having a loss after taxes. And then they say they have a net profit?
Well, they were on track. They were on track for a net profit. I'm not even sure it's an effective play on words anymore, but I think it's just enough of similar but contradictory language that, you know, it makes you question. You know, it certainly is just, it's a great propaganda machine in my humble opinion.
It certainly is, and the bonuses are basically paying out to say, hey guys, you did a great job from keeping us from failing.
you kept us
going 1 year. How you did it, I have no idea, but...
Well, I'll tell you, the bonuses are certainly making some impact at home. It's become a political issue in Germany, with the leader of the Social Democratic Party there stating the payouts hurt the solidarity of that community. A government spokesperson on Monday did tell reporters that the company management should ask what impression it leaves in public.
Well, that really is an incredible... So we'll be back. We might be talking a little bit about Dodd-Frank and some other topics that are going on in today's world. So make sure you stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And thank you for joining us. Hey, before we headed into the break, we were talking about Deutsche Bank. And it seems like these bonuses are coming out at the same time that the U.S. derivatives regulator is set to announce it's fining European lenders. You have UBS, HSBC, and yes, Deutsche Bank. Millions of dollars each for so-called spoofing and manipulation in the U.S. futures market. Now, this isn't the first time that Deutsche Bank and some of these other banks are getting hit with fines because of them messing around with the markets. The CFTC, the Commodities Future Trading Commission, is the result of a multi-agency investigation that involves the Department of Justice and the FBI. The fines for UBS and Deutsche Bank will be upward of $10 million. That's really nothing in today's world, but $10 million. No one goes to jail, while the fine for HSBC will be slightly less than that. So we don't
guaranteed.
Have
to expect, yeah. No. Guaranteed that $10 million will not come out of the bonus pool.
No, it won't. And it won't stop them from doing what they've been doing.
No, not to be a skeptic. No. You know, listeners, spoofing, a new term for me as well, involves placing bids to buy or offer to sell future contract with the intent to cancel them just before execution. So by creating an illusion of demand, spoofers like Deutsche Bank and others can influence prices to benefit their market positions. Really callous. Spoofing is a criminal offense under one of the provisions of the 2010 Dodd-Frank financial reform, which Melody and I will be talking more about in a few minutes. Now, some of this manipulative behavior came to light as a result of the authorities' previously settled probes into foreign exchange market manipulation, while UBS self-reported the wrongdoing. Hey, good for them, right? In August, the U.S. Appeals Court upheld the conviction of former New Jersey-based high-speed trader Michael Kosha, who was the first individual to be criminally prosecuted for the manipulative trading practice under Dodd-Frank.
Is he in jail?
He is in jail. He has to pay a fine, and I believe part of his sentence, we'll confirm that, but I believe part of his sentence was some jail time. Now, whether it was house arrest, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1-800, let me give the listeners our telephone number, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we've got some great prices on in-state $62 $20 Liberty gold pieces. They're selling for $1,400 and a great buy. But you can also buy in-state $63 $20 Liberties at $1,495, which is an extreme, again, deals you won't be had. If you're buying gold and silver, I'd be buying all $20 gold pieces. And the old idea that, well, dealers make more money selling $20 gold pieces, not when you're selling them for the same price as Gold Eagles. So again, folks, it's a perfect time to be adding $20 gold pieces to your portfolio. It's the perfect time to be trading in. If you have all bullion gold to trade, it's a perfect time to be trading and upgrading your lower-end $20 gold pieces and your bullion for maybe some higher quality $20 gold pieces. So, and you know what? Quality makes a difference, I do believe, in the world that we live. Dave, this morning I was on I do a morning show with Beth Ann. It's called Power Talks. Mm-hmm. And it's at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And, you know, we were talking about, I was on a rant, and I started thinking about quality. I mean, and as consumers, we're 70% of our economy is consumption, is consumers. We're out there buying. But what do we expect from it? We don't. Here we're the leg of this economy, the engine behind this economy, and we don't require much, do we? We just require low prices. We don't care about service. We don't care about the quality. We don't care about what we get or how we get it, as long as we do get it. And we don't demand anything. We've allowed these corporations, these multinational corporations, and maybe even, like, look at these retail stores. We didn't demand that they keep employees to help us with our purchases when we visited their stores.
We're talking about you, Amazon.
Yeah.
Not to drop any names.
Not to drop any names. But, I mean, we didn't demand anything because we were just always looking for the lowest price. And when you look for the lowest price, there's something wrong with that. We gave up so much just for that lower price. And that's part of some of the, you know, it's not our main problem, but it's certainly something I was thinking about this morning. But quality makes a difference, folks. And your quality and your gold and silver dealer should be Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
Melody, we appreciate the epilogue of your Monday rant.
Thank you. And that was nothing like I ranted this morning. But anyway, let's move on, Dave. 1-800-375-4188. What's next?
Well, let's talk about Dodd-Frank.
All right.
You want to start it? You want
let's
me to?
Do that. Just go ahead.
Well, let me just say quickly, Michael Kosha was sentenced to 3 years in prison as part of his conviction in that manipulation.
Manipulating markets, making millions and billions of dollars, and the one little guy goes to jail for 3 years. He'll probably get out in 6 months due to good behavior. And
that's more than any bank official will have ever served for what they did in bringing this great country to its knees 10 years ago. The Great Recession and bank bailout. You know, and it's amazing that 10 years have passed since the Great Recession, Melody, and soon after that we saw the prices of gold rise to unprecedented levels, hitting a high of close to 1,800 in November of 2011, was it?
Closer to 1,900.
Was it 19? Mm-hmm. And yet here we are again on the cusp of another stock and bond market bubble, with another explosion in gold and silver prices just around the corner. And what do you know? The two big to fail banks are on the verge of cashing in on their tens of millions of dollars of political donations, asking Congress to roll back many key protections that were put in place to prevent another near $1 trillion bank bailout. Now, like Melody, I'm no fan of government regulation, except perhaps when they're where they're really needed, like to prevent another big bank bailout. But this one's amazing. Congress, Melody, is on the verge of rolling back those portions of Dodd-Frank that was signed into law in 2010, I believe. The proposal, which was voted out of the Senate Finance Committee in December, would raise the threshold for extra regulatory oversight of banks from $50 billion in assets to $250 billion in assets. Now listen to this, folks. That would leave fewer than 10 big banks in the United States that would be subject to the now current stricter oversight. And not surprising, the bill's been pitched as aid and regulatory relief to small banks and credit unions. Writer and follower of Big Bang Boo-Boo's Matt Taibbi calls such groups as the widows and orphans of financial reform. Nobody's ever against helping them, which is why even giveaways to Wall Street behemoths are often dressed up as aid to regional bankers. Interestingly, the Democrat, 10 Democrats who crossed the aisle in the Senate to support the Dodd-Frank rollback, they bought into this lobbyist idea that too big to fail banks have too many punitive regulatory requirements, and that smaller companies, firms with less than $10 billion in assets, should be exempt from the already watered-down Volcker Rule, which prevents depository banks from gambling their customers' deposits, by the way, for their own accounts. You know, the bill's supporters argue that change would offer much needed relief to small banks and credit unions in parts of America that are struggling under regulations that had primarily, rightly, been aimed at the biggest banks. And a lot of these banks and credit unions happen to be in poorer rural areas. So just as an example, every bank smaller than the 10th biggest bank in the world, I'm sorry, in America, is now going to be called a struggling small bank just trying to make ends meet. Banks worth between $50 billion and $250 billion would no longer have to worry about proving to regulators that they could survive another crash, which is definitely, absolutely never going to happen again, right?
Right. Yeah, good luck with that. I understand that the bill would also allow banks with less than $10 billion to make risky bets with federally guaranteed deposits. I think you alluded to that, which sounds great and definitely like a thing that needs to happen, especially after the 2008 meltdown.
Yeah, you know, a similar bill passed in the House in December. 59 Democrats joined their Republican colleagues. The 30 banks deregulated by this bill hold a combined $5.3 trillion in assets, Melody, or roughly 25% of total assets in the banking sector. And here's the real kicker in my mind. Collectively, those 30 banks, and sit down for this, listeners, they received $65 billion in bailout funds and hundreds of billions of dollars more in additional forms of government support in 2010.
You know, that wasn't that long ago. It's just, you
right.
know, it wasn't that long ago, folks. And you know what's interesting, Dave? We talk to me when I hear $65 billion, and yes, hundreds of billions. It's not trillions yet. It really, $65 billion doesn't really sound like, quote unquote, that much.
Yeah, this whole scheme of thing. But that's just for those 30 banks. I mean, that's, I think the whole bailout was what, $800 billion?
Well, I'm sure it was more. It was in the trillions. But when we convert those dollars in today's terms,
oh, yeah, correct.
And just in that short period of time, it is truly like today, the $65 billion would probably be like, I don't know, $150 billion, and it's. You know, it's just like anything else, just like the devastation from the hurricanes this year and the fires and so forth. You know, they first came out and said $50 billion. I almost had to laugh. I says, no, it'll probably be between $300 and $500 billion. And we're moving up close to those numbers. And
how about it?
So you can never believe the numbers that the government gives you. Just multiply those by five. Anyway, I move on. The universe of banks deregulated by the bill also includes U.S. holding companies, systemically important foreign banks like Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, and these scandal-plagued foreign banks should be some of the last banks policymakers consider deregulating, shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, on the other hand, I mean, Senator Heidi Heitkamp, she's a Democrat from North Dakota. She's one of the Dems that supported the rollback. She said a lot of what was too big to fail under Dodd-Frank became too small to succeed because of the onerous regulatory burdens.
Please.
See, they're doing it all for the little guys out there, Melody, like HSBC, U.S. Holding Corporation, Deutsche Bank, which is giving out $1.2 billion in bonuses. And so on and so
on. And so on and so on. Do they really care about the people? Absolutely not. And so, Dave, how exactly does allowing a bank with $9 billion in assets to make riskier federally backed bets or freeing American Express from tougher oversight of their ability to survive an economic downturn help the average American? Like I said, they're there to help, right? Has Heitkamp forgotten all the fraudulent and insanely risky practices that led up to the Great Recession in the first place? And we're just about out of time, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, for many listeners, it probably won't be such a surprise to see, being a bipartisan deal, but it should still inspire anger and dismay that senior lawmakers from the loyal opposition, so to speak, are failing miserably by increasing the risk that the country will again have to bail out banks, and politically by refusing to take popular stands in favor of regulating the industry that almost completely brought down the world economy, as Melody said, less than 10 years ago.
Oh, it's amazing. But yet, you know what? Who cares? Stock markets are roaring. Stock markets are roaring. You know, they can enjoy this brief. We're going to do the music. So 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave, for joining me today. And listeners, make sure you return tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.